Good evening. All right, well, we're going to be in Jonah. We'll have some of the scriptures on the board, but we're going to start in Jonah chapter 2, a little bit of review, and then we'll dig into some new material right here. So I asked the question, I'm assuming everybody remembers, how long was Jonah in the belly before he started praying? And yeah, he was all 3 days and three nights. He didn't start till God just kind of said, hey, okay. I mean, in my idea, I can wait it out, Jonah, can you? And so he was in the belly of the fish 3 days, three nights. Then Jonah started to pray to the Lord, his God, from the stomach of the fish. Not a great place to be. Like I said last time, not anything like the stomach of Monstro, the whale that swallowed Geppetto and Pinocchio and their critters. So I just want to ask this. I mean, I kind of talked about it last time a little bit, but what did Jonah think about for 3 days? I don't think I asked that question. What did he think about? I wonder what I should have for lunch today. Or, oh, smells like fish. Maybe I should do laundry. I mean, he was thinking something. It's obvious because he's going to say he was in distress and he cried out for help. And so his mind was active. And why did he wait so long? And we answered the question last week, but I'm just kind of refreshing to catch us up so we can make the final 2 points of the last of chapter 2. So he said, I cried out in my distress. He was very distressed. He answered me, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depths of Sheol. You heard my voice. So why did he wait so long? And I can't think of a specific in my life, but I can tell you there were some. How about in yours? Did you ever just wait too long to resolve something by faith? You know, maybe you're just so hurt by another individual. I'm not going to forgive them. And maybe you continue to live like a Christian and in every way of your life except this one dark area where you're having trouble doing it God's way. I mean, I think a lot of us have done that. And like I said, I can't think of it a specific, but maybe we just have a sin that we just, maybe it's not a, you know, a blatant sin. Maybe it's some area of neglect. Well, we're just not acting like a godly husband or father or mother, some area for some reason. Maybe we want to blame it on our spouse in our mind. But don't wait like Jonah. I mean, it's the obvious, but what else can I say? It's time to remember God, as Jonah said that he did later on. So he cried out in distress and for help, and God heard him just like he hears every Christian who cries out for his help. So important details for our application. Last week, we looked at the first one. When life's a mess, meditate. Secondly, use supplication for salvation, and we're going to talk about that. And then vow and be delivered. So we're going to have our reading now by Brother Don, and it'll be Jonah chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. You might want to stand up and face. You don't need a mic necessarily. Or up here is better even. Okay. Yeah. Let's do that.
On the audio tape anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice and close.
All right, Jonah, chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord.
Amen.
Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land.
Amen. Some interesting little tidbits in there. Everybody has heard it 1,000 times, but perhaps there's still some value we can get today. So here we are with Jonah. his life's a mess. And verse 7, which we did cover, let's see if I want to go beyond that. We're just going to go right down to 7a. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. This guy's tough. He's tough. He's stubborn. He's rebellious. Jonah, go to Nineveh and cry out, I'm not going. Stubborn for sure, but tough. You know, a fish's stomach, they're cold-blooded, right? So was he cold the whole time? I would imagine so. The smell, how hard was it to breathe? I mean, God let him breathe or took away his need to breathe, but just dark, you know, and probably painful. Maybe God protected him from the acid of this fish's stomach, but he's a tough guy. 3 days, and as I pointed out last week, not afraid to die. Why is this storm happening? The sailors asked him. He explained it was because of him. What should we do? Throw me overboard. I asked it last week, but could he have repented before they threw him overboard? Of course he could have. God always listens to repentance. I'm not saying he takes away all consequences from intentional sin or unintentional. But he didn't have to go through it, but he hated Nineveh. We're never told why. Did he have family members, you know, that were flayed alive like the Ninevites were known to do, or other? They were cruel. They were idolaters. All I know is he preferred death. And he said so even in the end of the book, take my life over watching the Ninevites, although he didn't know if they would or not, repent and be saved. He was tough, but stubborn is probably a more accurate word. Fighting against God and, you know, kind of like Paul, Saul, before he was the apostle. And Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He talks about Saul kicking against the goad, which is Cyrus may not know what that is, but it's a pointed stick or rod that ranchers and so forth would poke their animals if they needed to motivate them to move on. And Paul's kicking against this pointed stick. I mean, so is Jonah. So is Jonah. He's just fighting God with all of his strength, which is nothing. And God apparently is not going to take away his life. Because you're going to die in a fish of a stomach of a fish pretty quickly. But like I said, apparently God is saying, I can outlast you, Jonah. So this is where we are. And while I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. And remember, we talked about it again. But it wasn't like Jonah forgot. He knew exactly why he was there. He told the sailors why they were in the big storm. But to remember, I didn't use this word last week, but would mean to acknowledge. I'm in there, and I guess I'm going to do it God's way. He wasn't happy even when he came out of the fish. But I need to do this God's way. So remember the Lord, acknowledge him, show it in his actions. God is the only deliverer, and you want to realize he's not going to take my life. I need to acknowledge him and repent. So in the second part of that verse, I have as point number two, the first one is meditate when your life's a mess. That's the first thing we have to do. And how many years it takes for a person to start turning to God every time a trial comes up, it's just human response, at least from my point of view, human response, we got this problem. Oh, no, what am I going to do? What should I do now? Instead of, Lord, what should I do now? Lord, what's the best plan of action? What would your will be? Just seems like some of us need to learn that idea, that concept several times over and over. And so it's gone now, but he was meditating, thinking, considering his options, and he chose the right one eventually. The second part of this is supplication for salvation. My words, but supplication for salvation. He says, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple. So I mentioned last week, we talked about what that holy temple is, and clearly it's not the temple in Jerusalem. I'm still not sure if it was in existence at this time or not. But the temple that Jonah, that his prayer came into, is the dwelling place of God.
Amen.
God heard him. That's what he said. Amen. And my prayer came to you in your temple. His prayers rose to God. That's what he's saying. Amen. And they always do when our hearts are right. When they're right. It's a wonderful thing. And Jonah has a lot of value for Christians today. A lot of value. If we find ourselves struggling, maybe it's time to read Jonah and say, am I doing this? Have I meditated and thought this through the way God would want me to? And now supplication. So supplication is a pleading. Please help me. You can use supplication with a human being, with a king or a friend, but it's a pleading. And that's what Jonah is doing. He's in distress, cried out for help. And he's pleading with God to help him out. So it's praying to God for help. And we're going to come back to that. Jonah is going to sidetrack just for a moment here. And he's going to say, those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. And you made a point tonight that I never thought about. I'm thinking, okay, those who regard idols, who so far in this episode has been an idolater? All the sailors, right? They all cried out to their gods. Jonah, what are you doing in the hold here? He says, why aren't you praying? Perhaps your God will be concerned. Our God is always concerned. But these idolaters who didn't know Yahweh yet, they were meeting him at this time. Consider the captain's words. Perhaps your God will be concerned. They're worshiping gods that don't exist, but they believe that the gods really don't care sometimes. Well, you, maybe yours will have a, be in a better mood today, and maybe you And so my mind went to the sailors regarding vain idols, and how much did their gods help? Nothing. So when Jonah told them what to do, number one, why they were in this mess, they believed. Then when they threw them over and the sea calmed, they greatly feared Yahweh.
Amen.
So it's a beautiful story because there's so many redemption aspects in this one short book. But I thought about them. But Don said to me, whether I quote him right or not, is perhaps this was, I'm not sure the word you use, preemptive? Is that the word you use? These vain idols? Because where is Jonah going? He's going to a city, Nineveh, who absolutely had false gods and vain idols. And vain, as most people know, means empty, useless, weak, worthless, weak, useless, false gods. And then the one thing that Mike was trying to give me a spiritual conversation today, and you said, you know, just before the service started, you talked about our idol conversation. I thought, I get it. You did say that, right? Idol conversation. So we weren't discussing idols. But a little play on words right there. So who is Jonah referring to? It could be preemptive or projecting forward to the Ninevites. One more time.
Faithfulness is what I was getting at.
Ah, yes. And they forsake their faithfulness by. And it's possible for us to do that too. Yeah. So I'd like you to notice this next thing here. He says, I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. There's a lot in this. Sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. Point number one, prayer and thanksgiving work together. In fact, supplication, and we'll look at Philippians 2, 6 in just a moment, but supplication with is asking, it's prayer, but it's a form of pleading. Supplication is prayer and pleading with thanksgiving. That is satisfying to God. It's beautiful to Him when He looks down and He says, wow, it took a little while, or wow, they responded immediately, but my servant has put himself before me. And it is a beautiful thing to God, and He actually calls it a sacrifice of the lips. And you can read in Hebrews 13, 15, we can, he talks about, the writer talks about sacrificing God with praise of our lips. And so this is a sacrifice. It's beautiful to God. And can you think of anybody else? You can probably think of more than one, but really stubborn in the Bible, knew who God was, and would not submit. Just would not submit.
Balaam,
wow. The donkey pressed him against the wall. How about King Asa, or Asa, however they pronounce his name? He was so faithful. If you read about him, he's in two places, but in 1 Chronicles 16, God commends him for his deep and active faith. Just a wonderful man, but he had so much success. These are my words now, but apparently he let it go to his head and maybe started thinking, hey, my success is due to my power. Whatever the reason was, he got rebuked because he tried to worship God in an unauthorized way through the prophet in jail. And I can't remember the words he used, but it's in 2 Chronicles 16. And it says he even oppressed some of the people from an awesome God, where God is praising him to, I don't like this. And he threw the prophet in jail. He oppressed some of the people, a formerly good one. And he's kind of obscure, Keen. Anybody remember what God let happen to Asa? Yeah. Disease in the feet. Oh, good. And it was a severe disease. He knew God. He'd been blessed by Him so many times. In fact, this whole mess came about when he wanted to worship God in his way, in his own way. And so his feet were severe, and he would not turn to God. Wow, just like Jonah, just no, 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 I'm not going to. And he died, trusting physicians instead of Yahweh. So, because he was a very faithful man, we don't know much about Jonah and his spiritual condition at really any time of his life except for now when we're reading about him. But Asa was a very good king and a very good man. And I think it just something we see. I need to guard my heart. I need to never forget God, but to always remember Him, and life will go much better. So here we have, we connected prayer and thanksgiving with sacrifice and supplication. And in Philippians 4, 6, a very well-known verse, be anxious for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests being made known to God. So if we're supplicating, we're pleading with God, what are we thanking Him for? We're thanking Him for the past deeds. You've been faithful all of my life. You blessed me overwhelmingly. Are we thanking Him for whatever His response will be, even though we don't know what it is, yeah. Or both? Yeah, probably both. The past, you've been my God, you've been faithful to me, you've been good. I'm turning to you because I trust you. And I'm going to thank you now for whatever your decision is. Let my heart be right and reflect that in my actions. So if we do that, this is the New Testament. Jonah's old, but if we do that, prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. John Clark's favorite scripture, and I think mine too, just a fantastic one to give us the peace that we can't even describe or understand. So the third point, the first one is meditate when your life's in a mess. Think this through. What's your best course of action? Yahweh. Secondly, turn to Him. If He's your best course of action, show Him. Plead with Him. Thank Him. Honor Him. Acknowledge Him. That's the supplication for salvation. And then vow for deliverance right here. And you may wonder, wait a minute. What's the difference between salvation, supplication for salvation, and vowing for deliverance? Well, sometimes there's none. Sometimes salvation is deliverance, but not in Jonah's case. Because the beautiful thing that we haven't looked at closely is that when Jonah's in the stomach 3 days and three nights, he won't pray for that long. Then he finally remembers God, finally acknowledges Him and prays out. How long does it take for God to respond to his repentance? Immediate. 3 days, three nights. He says, "You answered me, you heard me." So immediate, which I love, because sometimes when we've made a mess of things, sometimes maybe we're angry, maybe we're just ashamed. You ever been so ashamed you just didn't think, you didn't feel like coming before God because how could He hear my prayers? I caused this. I chose this. Again, I only know of one person whose mind I can read. But it seems to me that it's probably a human trait sometimes, is to let shame, like when Peter was in the boat, Luke 5, Jesus said, "Throw your nets over." Peter said, "But Lord, we fished all night and caught nothing, but nonetheless, at your will, I'll put them over." They got this catch that was so big that it began to sink both boats, too many fish. What was Peter's reaction? Yeah, shame. "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." Wow, I think that reflects how sometimes we might react. And God doesn't even want that. He wants godly sorrow. But He wants us to turn to Him immediately, immediately, as Jonah did, and he heard Jonah because of that. So I said that there's sometimes a difference between salvation and deliverance, and although I'm giving you a preview of what's to come, Jonah was saved. He was right with God the moment he repented. Right with God. "You heard me. You answered my prayer." Saved. Soul-wise. Still in the belly of the fish. So, think back to a trial or anticipate a future one. Well, you're faithful. And for some reason, God is allowing you to endure something great. We can, even though we are saved, we can still turn to God and ask for deliverance. And in this case, I have a vow for deliverance because we'll see it in just a moment, but Jonah did, and we can. And I know that Jesus says, you know, don't make vows, let your yes be yes, your no be no, but apparently that's man to man. Mike, listen, I promise you that if you loan me this money, I'll give you that it back, plus a birthday cake, and that's silly, but we can. Jesus says, no, just if you say something, keep your word. But I think I'm convinced, because Paul did, we can vow to God, Jonah did, and sometimes there's value in that, is all, as we'll look at in just a moment here. So he, "That which I vowed, I will pay." Does that mean what he vowed a long time ago? Okay, God, I'll go to Nineveh, and then he broke his vow? Are there other vows that we're not told about? Or is this a vow that he made in the fish of the stomach's fish? "Please, Lord, okay, you win, I'll go." It doesn't matter. He says, "I'll keep my vow. I'll keep my vow. I will pay it. Salvation is from you." Amen. And so We've got, then God commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. Just a couple of quick thoughts. You know, I really looked hard, and I just couldn't find one where Jonah is like this in the air, but he's vomited out. Now, this gives you the impression, look at this, his clothes look dry. I don't see any fish slime on his clothing at all. He's sitting upright. You know, the fish expelled him. Just a little reminder from God, who's in control, or a little reminder for us. I don't know, but he was vomited out, which is deliverance. He prayed to be delivered, and God did. He gave him relief from that, but that's not the same, as I said earlier, as salvation. He was already saved. He prayed, God heard him, but now he's delivered from this very uncomfortable ordeal that he's going through. Kind of a wake-up call, perhaps. The vow that every Christian has made, because all of us have made one, we usually don't hear about it in terms of it being called a vow, but, you know, Saul has been kind of like Jonah, fasting, not even drinking for 3 days. Jonah's been fasting, I'm assuming, no water, no fresh water, 3 days. Saul, then when he finds out he's been persecuting Jesus, spends 3 days just praying, won't even drink anything, that endangers your life. If you go 3 days without water, you can damage your kidneys. So it's about as long as you can go without significant harm. Paul's been fasting. Ananias says, what are you waiting for? He's been repenting. He's prayed for God's forgiveness kind of thing. What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name.
Amen.
That's a vow. That's what Abraham did after he lied to Pharaoh in Genesis 12. He built an altar, or went back to the one he built, but Genesis 13, around verse 4, and he called on the name of the Lord. He did it again later on. Isaac called on the name of the Lord. That is, I'm acknowledging you. I'm remembering you. I want you in control of my life. This is a vow by calling God that's saying, I'm giving my life and my decisions over to you. It's a vow we make when we become a Christian. I've lived this way. It wasn't right. I'm sorry. Now I'm turning to you as the God and Savior of the world and of my soul, and I'm committing to live as a Christian. That's a vow when we become a Christian, a vow to God for commitment and obedience to him. So every Christian has made this kind of vow, and I'm not saying we can't go further. I think that if you ever fast, and fasting doesn't have to mean, we've talked about this 3 years ago, but fasting doesn't have to mean totally without food. It can mean giving up something that's special to us, that we don't want to give up, but for God and to show our commitment, I will give up my coffee for a month or whatever. God, I'm asking for your help. I will give these things up. I want to pray to you every day. Please give me wisdom. Help me to be that better father or husband or overcome this sin or whatever. But we can vow today to the Lord. And I think this is one way we did when we initially became his child, and we continue to do so for deliverance. In our case, not necessarily salvation, but like Jonah, vow and say, Lord, I want to be the best man, woman that I can be. So application for us today, these three things. Meditate, think about it, pray about what should I do? Because my life is really messy right now. Supplication, turn to God, prayer, thanksgiving. Sacrifice of the lips right there, supplication, and he will save us, and then vow and be delivered, as we just discussed right here. So we'll just look at a quick map before we close today. You see the yellow arrow? That's where Jonah got on board the ship to run from God and to go east all the way across the 3,000-mile Mediterranean to Spain.
West,
the other east. Yes, thank you. So he gets in there. We don't know how far he went. Where do the fish vomit him out? We have no clue. Could have been Italy, but my guess is, we're not told. My guess is somewhere in this area right here, you know, near the Promised Land and near Nineveh, which is the yellow star up there in the upper right-hand corner. He still has a few hundred miles to travel if he goes directly there. If you read this again, at least the beginning of chapter 3, let me know what you think. Do you think as soon as Jonah was expelled from the fish, do you think he began his trek? Or do you think, because I did too, read it again, and you may still say yes, but I'm not so sure now. I'm not so sure. But read that and have fun. Did he immediately go to Nineveh, or do you think there might have been some delay? Recuperation from the fish acid, cleanup, food, I don't know. But read the context, and we'll talk about chapter 3 next week. Well, thank you. I hope you're getting something out of Jonah, because many of you probably taught the book as well as sat in here in this series right here. But it's just wonderful to me, all the stories of redemption, good stuff, and something to take to our own hearts and follow the meditation and the supplication and the vowing that we see there. At this time, we'll offer the invitation, and Mike will lead us in Psalm number 662. Please rise.